Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday morning, June the 18th. Good to be back from vacation. Thanks to Jean Purcell and John Munson for filling in for me while I was away. I'm now rested and recharged and ready to talk about state politics during our weekly State Capitol Report. Joining me in the studio is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson, and we will recap the latest in state politics with him and with you. Any issue out there in state government that has you talking? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Wondering if you side with Governor Doyle, who says Republicans are stalling on the state budget, or whether you side with those who say Democrats aren't doing enough to cut down on taxes. We'll talk about the latest debate over the state budget coming up. We'll also talk after 7:30 with Fred Risser, who is a Democratic state senator from Madison. We'll talk about a hearing that he is going to be holding today on the so-called Frankenstein veto. And we'll also talk some about sick leave for legislators. All that coming up on our State Capitol Report. First, let us welcome in our state government reporter, Sean Johnson. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Joy.
So I've been off for a couple of weeks. The Joint Finance passed a budget, and now they're going to, what?
And now we're back to square one, pretty much.
What's going on?
Well, the budget that passed Finance, who knows if that's going to be a document they even work from in the future. It's in the legislature's hands right now. And in the legislature right now, Republicans control the Assembly. Democrats control the Senate. And, you know, you look at past history, when there's split control in the legislature, it takes a long time to pass a budget in Wisconsin.
And while I was often not paying real close attention to the news, I did hear the Assembly Speaker make some sort of comment about how that Republicans will take their time in the Assembly and they're in no rush.
Yeah, and people are listening to what Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch has to say on this, because it's really the big question mark in terms of what happens to this budget. He sat down with reporters last week and said that his members are united against passing a budget without any new tax increases, and he said he's prepared to use whatever tools necessary to get there.
I have no deadline on myself for when a budget needs to be in place. Wisconsin does not shut down if a budget doesn't pass. Matter of fact, we don't spend more money. Now, there are other implications or other aspects of this that we will need to address as far as what it could mean in other areas, but bottom line is I have no date that I'm putting in any deadline that I'm putting on myself nor on my caucus to say we must have a budget by this date, because the product will be much more important than the date.
But typically the state wants a new budget in place by the end of June, Sean?
I mean, that doesn't happen too often. The way that Wisconsin works, if you don't have a budget come July 1st, last year's budget kicks in. So state government keeps going. It's not like the federal government where it actually would shut down, or some other states where things would actually stop. In Wisconsin, they'd keep going just with last year's money, not any new money, not any cost of living adjustments or anything like that.
Yeah, the governor probably doesn't like this plan very much.
Yeah, and he was asked what he thought about Hipsch's remarks last week, and the governor basically said it would set up a disaster.
I've spent a lot of my career having people bargain with me, you know, and the usual thing in bargaining is you set out the sort of most extreme threat to try to scare the other side. They have a job. I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, they have a job, and we know that as time goes on, it puts an enormous burden on school districts, on local fire and police departments, on the university. How do the regents even go about? We're trying to keep tuition 5% or lower, which would continue to make us one of the lowest in the country. What are the regents? You know, what does the university do if the legislature doesn't enact a budget and they don't know how much money they have?
Yeah, so while state government doesn't shut down on July 1st if a new state budget isn't in place, is the governor right that all these other agencies and school boards and such have a very hard time?
Well, I think that, Republicans would tell you that some of these things are exaggerated. But, yeah, there are very real areas. Like, as the governor mentioned, the tuition situation. He wants to keep tuition down in the next couple of years. In order to do that, you have to increase state support, or else the university has to lean on the students more in order to pay the bills. So, I mean, that's one area where having no budget in place would have a real effect. Another area that's of interest to Republicans is property taxes would go up. If you didn't have any action on the state budget, property taxes would go up. And that's certainly something that they can't really take back on the campaign trail.
We're going to check our weather forecast, and then we'll talk more with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about the latest with the state budget, the state budget process anyway. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your thoughts and questions about this issue or any issue that's facing state government as we review the hottest political issues in state government during our weekly state capital report. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 7 o'clock. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5 o'clock, Ben will talk with a guest political scientist about why Americans disapprove of their elected officials. New polls out putting approval ratings for Congress almost as low as the ratings for President Bush. So why is it we don't like our elected officials? That'll be discussed after 5 o'clock this afternoon with Ben Marins and his guest. We're talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about what our elected officials are up to here in the state of Wisconsin. The end of the state's fiscal year is June 30th. But we will not have a state budget, a new state budget in place by that time. Last week, Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch announced that the legislature, the Assembly anyway, will take its time in passing a new state budget. He says he has no deadline. And we heard a clip of him saying that. And we also heard Governor Doyle saying, hey, legislature, this is your job. Get to it. Your delays are going to cause problems for some agencies. Why, Sean Johnson, you know, I mean, what? Why don't the Republicans say, here's what we want to do instead and pass that rather than, I don't know, wait until October to just reject all of the governor's suggestions?
I think that's kind of the approach people thought that they were going to be taking, where they would just pass a budget out of the Assembly. It would be different than the Democrats' budget. They'd sit down and it was starting to be an assumption that the Republicans were going to kind of get kicked around on this. And, you know, in the end that they would have to give in to whatever the governor wants. You know, I don't know if they're going to stop the budget altogether, but they have to show the other side that they have a bargaining position and that you have to contend with them if they want to get any of their objectives met. And so they have to kind of lay out the kind of power that they have, lay it on the table.
Well, I'm looking for some insider scoops here, Sean. You know what occurred to me? Because we are talking with Fred Risser about this so-called Frankenstein veto legislation that Fred Risser is the chair of a committee that will take up this legislation in a hearing today. Republicans want, well, I shouldn't say just Republicans. The Frankenstein veto is the veto that allows the governor to just cross out what numbers and phrases and create new legislation in the budget, right? And I'm wondering if this delay is to wait for the Frankenstein veto to be banned.
That won't affect this budget. Mm-hmm. The Frankenstein veto legislation it's designed to basically scale back the governor's extensive veto powers. Where right now, as you mentioned, he can take the budget bill, cross out, you know, hundreds of words over several paragraphs to create, you know, basically recreate the budget to his liking. You know, the last budget, he used it to transfer more than $400 million out of the roads budget to the schools budget. So it definitely wasn't the document that Republicans were hoping for in the end. But it won't, the efforts to scale back that power won't matter this time. Mm-hmm. Because it's the way that they're trying to do it is through a constitutional amendment. It needed to pass by February, basically, to have any chance to go before voters and affect this budget. And because it didn't, the governor's going to have that power this time around.
Okay. We have some callers who want to talk about some budget-related issues and open lines for you, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or 263-1890 if you want to talk about the state budget process or any other issue before the state legislature or state government. We welcome your participation. Linda in Monroe is with us. Hi, Linda.
Good morning, Joy, and your guest. I have a comment and a question. My comment is about the Frankenstein bill. I think it's a good name for the line item veto, because you wonder sometimes why they have the Senate and Assembly when the governor can change everything and act like a dictator. Now, if anything would get done, I would be more inclined to think Governor Doyle would do it rather than a Republican. But my question is that I read in the State Journal last year on September 10th that the state uses two sets of books, cash accounting and accrual accounting, and I also understand that the federal government does too. And they're questioning on a federal as well as a state level that how can any system be balanced when you have two sets of books? It sounds like what Enron was doing.
All right. Does the state have two sets of books, Sean?
Well, there's different ways of measuring the budget. And what the state doesn't use when it tells you that it's got a budget in the black and that they balance the budget, it doesn't use what are called generally accepted accounting principles. I don't want to get too dry there, mm-hmm. but basically they don't use the system that that everybody else uses. And so you've got, the state can say we're in the black because it's got a balance in its checkbook, when in reality, it knows that it has expenses coming up that it has to pay for. So I think that's basically how the state can, say that it's got a balanced budget when on one set of books, went on another, as Linda mentioned, it doesn't really balance out.
Thank you, Linda. Ron in Madison is with us now. Hi, Ron.
Hi. You mentioned earlier that without a budget, the state government just keeps going along at the current year's level, and that's true for agencies and programs that are funded from the general fund or from segregated funds, but for programs and construction projects like buildings and stuff that need bond authority, they don't have any bond authority at the end of the year unless the legislature passes a budget. I'll take my comments off the air.
Any comments, John?
Sure. And, on top of that, any of the new initiatives in the governor's budget that lawmakers from both parties are interested in would be history, basically, if they don't pass a new budget. There's a lot of things that Republicans are happy with in this budget. I can't say everything, but there are a few things in this budget that Republicans would like to see too, in terms of new programs, new DNA analysts, for example. Funding for that mm-hmm. wouldn't be in this budget if you had no budget. There's consequences to whatever decisions are made. I will say that the speaker also threw out the possibility that instead of passing a full budget, since it's possible they would never agree on tax increases, things like that, they could pass the budget piece by piece and get bipartisan agreement on a school's budget and just pass that so that schools have an increase, get bipartisan agreement on a piece of the budget that would make sure that property taxes don't go up and just pass that piece. But, like anything, that needs Senate Democrats to go along too. That's questionable.
Let me ask you about this hearing that will take place today on this so-called Frankenstein veto. What will this hearing determine?
The piece of legislation that we were talking about earlier. And I guess this is just the next step forward in the Senate. Republicans wanted to bring this up in the Senate when there was still a chance of passing it this session. Senator Risser said that he would have a hearing on it eventually, but wanted to give it some time. He's having it now. It's, as we mentioned, not going to affect this budget. I think Democrats have mentioned that they would be open to passing an end to the Frankenstein veto that took effect, after Governor Doyle's current term is over, with the idea being that nobody knows who's going to be governor the next time around, that would be fair in their minds. But they don't like the idea of doing it right and changing the rules in the middle of the game, as they say. The thing that derails these proposals all the time is that they're usually brought by the party that doesn't have the control of the mm-hmm. governor's office, and the party that has control of the governor's office didn't want to give up that power.
Well, we'll talk more with Fred Risser about that coming up after the news, after 7:30. What else? The legislature is going to have a hearing today, or a committee is going to have a hearing today on this getting rid of the sick leave benefit for lawmakers?
Yeah, I believe that's also Senator Risser's committee. This is another thing. This is another bill that Republicans originated in the Assembly, and it resulted from an investigation that found that elected officials get this these credits that they can accumulate for unused sick time, and then when they retire, they can use that to purchase health insurance. The thing is that lawmakers and other officials weren't claiming any sick time, so they're racking up, you know, in some cases, more than 100,000 or yeah, six figures worth of health insurance credits. And, you know, I think some people are concerned that, that people in the private industry don't get that type of benefit, and this should be scaled back. So what you're going to hear in Senator Risser's committee today is a plan that would take that benefit away from just lawmakers, whereas Republicans want to take it away from all elected officials. So it kind of it sets up a situation where they could both pass something and potentially nothing gets done.
One other thing that got done last week is that a committee passed a bill requiring citizenship for affirmative action programs. What's this about?
Yeah, and this is there was a long ongoing study committee that was looking at affirmative action. It was chaired by West Bend Senator Glenn Grothman, who does not like affirmative action programs. And he was looking at a variety of proposals that were more sweeping than this. For example, a constitutional amendment that would end affirmative action in Wisconsin. So it got pretty contentious on this committee. It wasn't looking like much was going to find its way out of there, but this proposal did, and essentially would prohibit the University of Wisconsin or the state from considering someone's race or ethnicity when it comes to college application or government hiring. And Senator Grothman says, you know, he came up with the idea because one of the rationales for affirmative action is that it makes up for the past prejudices that occurred in the U.S.
It seems to me if you weren't born in this country, if you moved to this country sometime during your life, it seems inappropriate that whether you're here legally or here as a permanent resident or whatever, that you would be given a preference over somebody who's already a citizen. I can't visualize a situation in which that would make sense.
And the Democratic retort to that, at least among Democrats who are against this bill, is basically that, you know, people don't discriminate against you because of whether or not you're a citizen. They discriminate you against you because you're different, and that's what affirmative action is there to combat against.
Only a minute more to go, Sean, before we check news. Anything from last week or coming up this week that that we should be talking about?
We're in that period in state government where you're just kind of waiting for the next step in the budget. It's in Senate Democrats' hands right now, and the possibility there is that they're going to add some type of universal health care proposal to the budget. And you know that whether or not that would get the Assembly Republicans okay is doubtful, given that they're against taxes and that this, you know, could be another expensive tax. But this has kind of been their big issue, and the debate right now is whether or not they want to roll this out in the budget. But they're going to pass a budget that sort of puts their mark on it. This is the first year they've been in power in a while, and it's a chance for them to kind of flex their muscles and put things in there that they want.
All right, Sean, we'll get an update next week.
All right, thanks, Joy.
All right, thanks. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. We will welcome in State Senator Fred Risser coming up after the news. We'll talk about Frankenstein vetoes and, what the heck, sick leave for lawmakers. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to be with you and happy to be back from vacation. Thanks to Gene Purcell and John Munson for filling in for me. And happy to be hosting this edition of the State Capitol Report. Every Monday during our 7 o'clock hour, we find out what our state lawmakers are up to in the State Capitol Report. Just talked to Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about some of the news made last week and what's on the agenda for this week. One of the things on the agenda today is that a legislative committee will be holding a hearing on two issues that we'll talk about during this hour. A bill that would restrict the so-called Frankenstein veto, and a bill that would eliminate the accumulation of sick leave by lawmakers. We'll talk about both of those with Fred Risser, Democratic State Senator from Madison. He chairs the Senate Committee on Ethics Reform and Government Operations, which will hold the hearings today on those two issues. And we'll welcome your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And State Senator Fred Risser joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's talk first about the, it's been dubbed the Frankenstein veto. What's its official name? Is this a, this bill would restrict the governor's partial veto powers?
Well, the governor of Wisconsin has the broadest veto powers of any governor in the United States. And we have what's called a partial veto rather than an item, line item veto. And the Supreme Court has interpreted the partial veto very, very liberally and indicated that practically anything goes. Several years ago, the legislature passed what was called the Vanna-White partial veto reform. Governors were taking words and making new words out of old words. In other words, they're taking letters and striking letters to make new words. It was far beyond any comprehension of a veto power. And the legislature and the public voted against that, and that's no longer permissible. Now governors are taking sentences, and they're making new sentences. And the so-called Frankenstein bill would provide that a governor could not make new sentences out of old sentences. In other words, combine parts of sentences to make new sentences. This isn't necessarily the total solution to the governor's veto powers. For example, the governor can still, even if this passes, the governor can still strike out words, changing the idea of a bill completely. In other words, you strike out the word not, and you make a negative a positive.
Mm-hmm. So you have, Senator Risser, taken a little bit of flack from the State Journal, who has been putting pressure on you as the chair of this committee to bring this issue to a hearing and to get this thing passed. Why did you wait until now to have this hearing?
Well, the hearings in the legislature are scheduled to meet the needs of the people in the legislature. In this particular bill, nothing can happen until nothing finally can happen until the vote of the public is made, and the next election would be next spring. So, whether the matter was heard now, today, or this fall, really wouldn't make any difference because if the legislature should approve it, it still has to go to a vote of the people, and the next election, as I say, is next spring. So the time constraint is not that pressure. There are other matters which I think are far more important. For instance, and we'll be having a hearing on this morning too, asking that the legislature approve the governor's appointments to the new accountability board. That takes effect this fall. And so we have to schedule the hearings to jive with what the effective times should be.
Yeah. So do you, Senator Risser, approve of the bill that would at least restrict the governor's partial veto power?
I voted for the bill the first time around, and I philosophically believe that something along this line should pass, yes.
Yeah. And do you predict it will pass?
I think it will pass. I think the only real question is when it'll pass. In other words, as you know, it takes a vote of the people to give final approval. Some people would like to have it voted on in the spring election. Others would like to wait until fall when more people vote. Some people would like to have the bill take effect immediately. Other people have said, well, maybe it should take effect after the current governor has completed his term in office. So I think it'll pass, and I think the only question is just exactly when it'll pass and when it will take effect.
Yeah, and the vote of the people makes this a constitutional amendment.
This is a constitutional amendment. The governor cannot veto it. but it does take a vote of the people.
Yeah. And when would it take effect? You're saying that's still up in the air?
Well, it will take effect upon,
if it's passed by the people.
It'll take effect when the constitutional amendment says it'll take effect. It could take effect upon final approval of the voters, or it could take effect at a given time in the future.
Yeah, I have been on vacation for a couple of weeks, but I thought I saw in the State Journal an editorial that said that Democrats are going to, you know, go along with this as long as Governor Doyle can continue to use it while he is in office. Is that what's going on?
Well, some people feel that way. Others feel that it should take effect right away. And I think that's one of the things we will discuss at the public hearing. There people have a chance to make their presentation and discuss what they like or dislike about a bill and when it should take effect.
Yeah. And when this has been described in some media accounts as a ban of the Frankenstein veto, that is not entirely accurate, is it, Senator Risser? As you pointed out, any governor would still have at least some powers along these lines.
You're absolutely correct. It's a misnomer to say this is a ban on Frankenstein. It's a partial ban. I call it a ban on Frankenstein Senior. There's still Frankenstein Junior to worry about, because the governor can, as I say, make a negative a positive. You have a bill that says thou shalt not kill, and you strike out the word not, and it says thou shalt kill. I mean, the governor has that power even with this constitutional amendment.
Yeah, so what exactly, I mean, what this would somehow stop him from stitching together all sorts of different paragraphs and then increasing spending or something?
Well, basically what this proposed amendment does would be to keep a governor from creating new sentences by combining parts of two or more sentences of a bill. In other words, he currently can completely rewrite what the legislature has in mind. And he can take parts of various sentences and make a brand new sentence with brand new meaning. This would eliminate that, but it would not eliminate some of the other problems, which I think still exist.
Yeah, which is just crossing out a word is not combining sentences.
That's right. Yeah. He'd still have the opportunity to cross out. And, of course, the word veto means no. And I think that actually the ultimate would be to go back to the line item veto, which most states have, and which would give the governor the right to veto any idea that he doesn't like, and give the legislature a chance to override that veto, not to turn around and change meanings completely, making negatives positives or adding or subtracting appropriations.
Our guest is Fred Risser, a Democratic state senator from Madison. He chairs the Senate Committee on Ethics Reform and Government Operations, which will be holding hearings today at the state capitol on both a bill to restrict the so-called Frankenstein veto and a bill to eliminate unused sick leave by lawmakers. We'll talk some about that sick leave benefit legislation coming up after the weather break, and we will ask you whether you approve or disapprove of the governor having this Frankenstein veto power. And we'll wonder if you have any questions about that piece of legislation or the sick leave legislation as well. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock this morning, we'll talk with the author of Why Good Things Happen to Good People, about why doing good deeds for others is good for ourselves as well. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. This is our State Capitol Report, and during this part of the program, we are talking with Fred Risser, a Democratic State Senator from Madison, about the so-called Frankenstein veto and a hearing that will be held today on a resolution that would limit the governor's partial veto power. And Senator Risser's Committee on Ethics Reform and Government Operations, is holding a hearing on that bill, as well as a bill that would eliminate unused sick leave by lawmakers. It's a bill that would take away the benefit of lawmakers to accumulate sick leave to use to pay for health insurance post-retirement. Senator Risser, what can why is this bill being proposed?
Well, I think it's being proposed because some legislators feel that they should not be able to accumulate it. I think it comes about because of a drumbeat, you might say, from talk radio in Milwaukee. Talk radio in Milwaukee was complaining about this matter, and consequently, some of the legislators thought, well, we ought to have a hearing on it and see what the public thinks. The accumulated sick leave is nothing new. The idea of accumulated sick leave is that people who constantly work and don't take sick leave should be able to accumulate it and be able, upon retirement, to use that accumulated sick leave towards health insurance until the period runs out. It's not a vested interest necessarily, and a person can now waive that if they want to. In other words, a legislator could say, I don't want to take accumulated sick leave. So it's something that is not necessarily a mandatory item at all. It's something that a legislator can do, and other state employees can do it also.
Yeah. Now, the bill that you're going to be holding this hearing on is one that is proposed by Democrats. It would apply only to state legislators. There is also a Republican bill that would not only apply to state legislators, but other elected officials like judges.
The Republican-controlled Assembly passed a bill that would apply to judges and district attorneys, and that bill was sort of changed in the Senate by another bill that covers just legislators. There's an argument that judges and district attorneys are full-time jobs and then should not be included. And so a group of legislators came forth with this second bill that covers just legislators on the grounds that the legislative job is a part-time job and should be included. I might say that actually the rules of the state Senate, for example, provide now that a person, if they're sick, have to so register, and then they're using their sick leave to cover that particular period. So there isn't really a problem, you might say. Legislators can waive this if they want, and they now have to specify when they're sick and when they aren't sick. And so there's pretty good coverage of this matter.
Yeah, we are talking with Fred Risser, and we wonder what you think about these two bills in particular. His Committee on Ethics Reform and Government Operations is holding a hearing on a resolution that would at least restrict the use of the so-called Frankenstein veto by the governor of the state of Wisconsin. It's a partial veto power that this bill would tell the governor that it's no longer okay to stitch together two different sentences or two or more sentences to rewrite legislation. Is this a good idea? Do you think that this partial veto power, this so-called Frankenstein veto, should be taken away from the governor of the state of Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Is this an issue that is important to you? And what about sick leave for state legislators? There's a bill that would stop this benefit, would tell state legislators they no longer can save up sick days and then use the unused sick days for health insurance post-retirement. There's a hearing on that particular bill as well today. Is that an issue that's important to you? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or is there some other issue before the state government that you're curious about? Both of these issues had been issues of quite a bit of media attention anyway, so I'm a little bit surprised that we haven't received any phone calls on this. The State Journal was running a picture of a Frankenstein cartoon characters with slash marks counting down the days that had passed without a hearing on this particular Frankenstein veto bill, and then did it in reverse. Today is the day of the hearing. And I'm wondering, Senator Risser, if you have heard from any of your constituents on either of these two issues.
Actually, I've heard very little on either of them. We ran a survey in our office to find out what we've been listening, what we've been getting, and we find that more contacts have been made on domestic desire for domestic partnerships or compassionate care for rape victims. Actually, there's been many more contacts on the cable choice legislation. In fact, we've had very, very little contact on ethics idea of changing the governor's veto, and when it comes to the accumulation of sick leave, I don't think I've had any contact.
Yeah. So the State Journal's Frankenstein cartoon character did not force your hand on this, Senator Risser?
No, I told the State Journal early on that we would be holding a hearing later this spring, and that we've done, and we've scheduled this hearing almost a month in advance so that anyone who's interested will have plenty of time to prepare for the hearing. I did that on purpose because I thought it was important, especially to the State Journal, that people who are interested have a chance to appear. As I say, the timing is such that the legislature can act on this anytime between now and the end of the calendar year, and it still isn't going to speed things up at all because it takes a vote of the people to make this effective.
Yeah. Bill in Madison is with us. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, hi. Related to this is my understanding that things could have been timed in such a manner that the state voters could have voted on this last February. And that kind of like rearranges or, you know, no one's talked about this, and I don't know if it's true or not. But if it was possible, why was it not done?
That's partially true. What happened was that the Assembly did pass the bill late in January, early in February, and to have this get on the ballot, it would have had to take expeditious action in the Senate, and it didn't get over to the Senate in time, really, to consider. The Assembly did pass it early in the year, but to get on the ballot in February, it had to be certified in late January, and there was just not the time.
Because that's basically what I thought the basic thrust of the State Journal's argument was about. But that's good enough for now. Thank you very much.
Right. Thank you very much, Bill. Bob in New Richmond. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. I never thought too much of that Frankenstein Amendment. I thought it was sort of a bureaucratic gizmo, more or less, until I saw the example of the governor who transferred, I believe he transferred $400 million from the transportation fund into education by just jockeying around words in a piece of legislation. And I thought, this totally changes the ability of the legislature to get involved in legislation. And I think it's a terrible way to go. I think we should have the line item veto.
Yeah, Senator Risser, that's true, isn't it? The governor in the last budget did do that.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And some people feel that that's a perversion of the governor's activities. Other people feel that it was fortunate that the governor actually did that because otherwise the educational budget would have been way down. But the caller is correct. And under the current law, the governor can make those changes. Some people think the changes are to the best public interest. Others question it. My personal opinion is that when you add up all the pluses and all the minuses, that the governor should be restricted.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot, Bob. And Karen in Darlington. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I would just like to say that I believe that the sick time accumulation for legislators is totally wrong. That like any salaried employee, which they are, and I was under the impression that our legislators were full-time, you either use it during the time allotted or you lose it. And I'd like to take my answer off the air.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is the feeling of some of the legislators, and that is why this bill is before us, because some feel that that is the situation. It's Actually, though, while the legislature is considered part-time, over half the legislators are full-time legislators. Their sole source of income is from the legislation. And they argue that other state employees have this right and that, furthermore, that it can be waived if they want. As I've indicated, the new rules in the Senate provide that if a person is sick, they have to certify they're sick, and then they lose those sick days. It'll be very interesting at the hearing today to hear what people have to say, and that's why we have these public hearings. We want to hear the arguments for and against, and then we'll make a recommendation to the full legislature.
And that hearing, the hearings start today at 10:30 this morning?
Yeah, it will start at 10:30 this morning. We don't have too many other things. We have a couple of appointments, so I anticipate that we'll be able to give full attention to these items.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
State Senator Fred Risser, Democratic State Senator from Madison. He chairs the Senate Committee on Ethics Reform and Government Operations. We'll be holding hearings today on the so-called Frankenstein veto amendment and a bill to eliminate or eliminate the accumulation of unused sick leave by lawmakers. Thanks to Leo Duran and to Christina Taylor for producing this hour and to Christina for on-air production. And thank you for listening. Hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. And if you would like to purchase a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, please call the radio store, 1-800-747-7444. You can also listen to our talk shows, which are archived on our website, wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.